for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, December the 26th, 1988. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
The kingdom and dominion shall be given to the saints of the Most High. It is an everlasting one. I speak of life, for ye shall never die. This covenant I've made shall stand. Death is to know by my own hand, and with mercy I will pass over those I tried. This remnant seed that I have birthed can now be seen upon the earth, and the glory rests on the saints of the Most High. The kingdom and dominion shall be given to the saints of the Most High. It is an everlasting one. I speak of life, for ye shall never die. This covenant I've made shall stand. Death is to know by my own hand, and with mercy I will pass over those I try. This remnant seed that I have birthed can now be seen upon the earth, and the glory rests on the saints of the Most High.
Brother Tommy Cook.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, let's stand again. Father, again today, we thank you for your word. And we ask you to help us today as we share forth this word that you've given, put into our hearts, open our hearts to receive it. We thank you for the worship today, Lord. And we thank you for this word that we're going to share. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's look at this remnant today that we just sang about. Turn over to Kings for a 2 Kings 19, just a minute. We want to share a few things God has put on our hearts here today, and pray it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Kings chapter 19. Praise the Lord. How many is glad you got to come to the camp meeting?
Amen.
Amen. 2 Kings 19, verse 30, it says, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth," what? "A remnant. And they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." Now I want to read that from the Amplified translation here. And it says, "And the remnant that has survived of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant and a band of survivors out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." How many want to be a living survivor? To be a living survivor, how many know we've got to overcome? And to be a living survivor, how many know there's a warfare? And you got to survive the warfare. Now, Paul said there was going to be those that remain and live unto the coming of the Lord, didn't he? And that actually means the living survivors. And the living survivors will be those who have been in the battle, who have won the battle, and they've overcome. Hallelujah. How many believe God's calling us to be overcomers? Do you believe that? Amen. Now let's turn today to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And let's look at a few things today concerning warfare. Numbers 13. That we'd like to look at here real quick as the Lord directs us here. And if I get to share again this week, I hope to share some more maybe along the line of warfare. I mean, it's daily. It's daily. It's not just once a week or once a month. It's daily. If you're an overcomer. And you know, if you overcome today, you've been an overcomer. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Now, in chapter 13, we know that Moses sent out how many spies? 12 spies. How many know 12 is the number of government? How many believe God wants His government established in His church today? And so they were all 12 chosen by Moses, but yet we know some of them had a problem. Now, look in chapter 13, verse 30. Listen to what Caleb said here. It said he stilled the people. How many know the people need to get still sometime? All of us. And see the salvation of God, right? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it," that's the land, "for we're well able to overcome it." But there's going to be a warfare to overcome it. Isn't that right? Well, it's not enough to enter. You've got to conquer. You've got to possess Canaan. So, number one is he was chosen, of course, by Moses. Number two, he said, we can overcome it. We can take the land. Praise the Lord. Now look in chapter 14, verse 6. He saw the enemy defeated. In chapter 14, verse 6, how many know you've got to see the enemy defeated before you can defeat him? If you see him defeating you, who's going to win? He's going to win. In 14:6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land, and will give it us a land that flows with something, milk and honey." Now look at verse 9. Listen to what an overcomer says. "Only rebel not." How many know that's our problem? Amen. Rebellion in all of us. And so to be an overcomer, we first of all got to spot that thing in us and deal with it. He said, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." So who do we rebel against? The Lord. "Neither," here it is, "fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense," that's their protection, "is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Praise the Lord. So we've got to take the land as an overcomer, but before we can do it, we've got to see the enemy has been defeated. Praise the Lord. Now look in chapter 14, 24, and notice this verse. You've got to have another spirit. You've got to have the Spirit of Christ within you. Can you say amen? I mean, no, that's the spirit we've got to have. That overcoming power, that anointing. 14:24. Notice what it says. "But my servant Caleb," God said, "because he had another spirit with him." It's with him. "And hath," here's another point, "hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it." Notice now, he has another spirit. God said, "He's followed me fully. I'm going to bring him into that land that I promised him, and his seed as well shall possess it." How many know our overcoming will cause our seed to be blessed? It'll cause our families, our children, to be blessed by our overcoming. Praise the Lord. So we've got to see the enemy defeated. We have got to have another spirit. We have got to follow the Lord, and our seed will be blessed. Now look in 14:37. Listen to what God said. God said in verse 37, "Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord." Verse 38. "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were all the men that went to search the land, lived still." Praise the Lord. They entered the land. Isn't that right? Now look at verse 22. Listen to what God said in verse 22. I know I'm going fast here, but look at it. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not what? Hearkened to my voice. How many want to enter the land now? How many want to hear His voice? How many want to obey His voice? Amen. Let me go over the points again. Number one, they were chosen of God. Number two, they saw the overcoming realm. They said, we can well overcome the land. They saw the enemy defeated. Number three. Number four, they had another spirit. There was another spirit, the Christ spirit upon them and within them. They followed the Lord wholly. They entered the land, of course, because they heard His voice. And that which came out of their mouth was a good confession. Amen? How many know we need to guard what we say? Now turn over to Numbers 32 just a minute. Numbers 32 and look at this scripture concerning Caleb especially here and Joshua. 32 verse 11 and 12. The Lord said, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. My Bible says, completely obeyed me, save Caleb, and then it says Joshua, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Notice that, wholly followed the Lord. Now, turn to Joshua 14. Joshua 14. And look at verse 7. Let's look at one of these spies here, Caleb. We said he had another spirit. In verse 7 it says, 40 years old, he said, was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was where? In my heart. Praise the Lord. How many know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak? If it's unbelief, what are we going to speak? If it's faith, we're going to speak faith. Now, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now, you talk about transference of spirits. There it is. When the other spies came back and gave an evil report, how many know it got into the people, and they wanted actually to stone these two men. Then they wanted to get another leader and go back into Egypt. Remember that? And so unbelief will cause you to go back into the world. It'll cause you to reject the leaders God's put over you. Amen? Don't shout me down. That's true. Amen. Verse 8. Notice again. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. They put fear in the people by that which came out of their mouth. How many know we can do that if we're not careful? Listen, but I wholly... How many know that spirit, soul, and body? I wholly followed the Lord my God. How many believe we're not following a fairy tale? We're following Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're following the Lamb of God. How many believe we need that lion nature in us when we deal with the devil?
Amen.
But we need that lamb nature when we're dealing with people. Isn't that right? But we're following the Lord, not some institution or some doctrine. We're following Jesus, wherever soever that He goes. In verse 9, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. You put your foot on it, Caleb, it's yours. If you and I put our foot on it, it's ours. Hallelujah. I mean, it's not enough to see it. Moses saw the land, but Joshua walked in it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many know the eyes are in the head? And the head's not going to say to the feet, I don't need you. How many know today He's the head? And we're the feet. Amen? We need revelation, insight, perception, discernment, but we've got to walk into that which we see. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for revelation. But it doesn't do us any good unless we're willing to overcome and walk in to what we see. Now, he said here, he said, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Again, his seed's going to be blessed. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That's the reason God's going to bring us into the land, brethren. That's the reason you're going to overcome. That's the reason you're going to inherit your inheritance, because, again, we follow the Lord. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Oh, glory to God. How many know God's able to preserve us? Bible said, I'll live and not die and declare the works of God. I believe we have to confess that, don't you? Amen. I believe we have to declare that in the sight of God, in the sight of the devil, in the sight of people, that we will live. How many's ever had a battle with death in this room today? Amen. I believe we haven't seen anything yet, don't you? But I believe that we must confess life and speak life into our being and over our families. Praise the Lord. Now, he said, the Lord hath kept me alive. Who's going to keep us alive? The Lord. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, he said, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85. And as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, God is able to rejuvenate us. God is able to renew our youth as the eagles. Amen. How many believe you need some rejuvenation today?
Amen.
Amen. We all need some rejuvenation in the physical. And God is able to do that. I believe it. Praise the Lord. But it's not going to happen until we get our eyes on the Lord and we truly follow Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But he said, I'm as strong this day as when Moses sent me out. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain. Hallelujah. I want you to notice he knew what was his because it had been promised to him. And so now he's come to claim and take that inheritance. And we have to claim and take that which rightfully is ours. The devil's got it. How many know he's the God of this age? He's the God of this world. But Jesus redeemed it for you and I. Hallelujah. Our inheritance. And he said here, give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake in that day. Now, you'll see here also in verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for inheritance. Hebron means a fellowship. And Hebron because... before came the inheritance of Caleb was this, well, so forth and so on. Okay, look at verse 15. And the name of Hebron before with Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now that was where the giants lived. They were on that mountain. And yet he was able to kick the giants off and take his inheritance because it was given to him. He was an overcomer. He was a warrior. He had another spirit and a holy followed the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe God is raising up a strong people. Now turn to Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. And look in verse 20, I believe it is. Look back to verse 19. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 20. Now listen to what God says to his people. Thou art my battle axe and weapons, come on, help me, of war. For with me, that's you, brethren, that's me, will I, God said, break in pieces the nations. And with thee, will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee I will break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee I will break in pieces the chariot and his rider and so forth. So God has a battle axe. Now turn to Daniel 2. I didn't call you an old battle axe, but he has a battle axe. Daniel 2, 44. Notice what Daniel said. And in the days of these kings, these 10 kings that will be set up at the end of the age, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Where is that kingdom? It's in you. It's in me. And yet it's here in the earth, and yet it's coming. which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall, notice what this kingdom's going to do, it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Now turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5. Revelation 12, 5. And what did it say? It said, and she, the woman, the church, brought forth a man-child, a male son, a corporate son, who was to rule or shepherd what? All nations with a rod of iron. That is authority, isn't it? And her child was caught up to God and to His throne. Now, Revelation 2, verse 26. Revelation 2, 26. The Lord said here in verse 26, and he that overcometh, the one that's got another spirit, the one that sees the enemy defeated, the one that's following the Lord, and keeps my works to the end, to him, the overcomer, God said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to give him power or authority over the nations. And he, the overcomer, shall rule or shepherd them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter. Shall they be what? Broken to shivers. That's in small pieces. Even as I received of my Father, Jesus said. And I'm going to give him, the overcomer, the morning star. How many know that's Jesus? Amen. Glory to God. He is the morning star. He is the star, isn't he? Amen? He's the star. Now turn to Job. How many believe we're in a battle today? Turn to Job 39. Let's look at these overcomers. Let's look at these warriors here. In Job 39, speaks of a horse here. Job 39 and verse 18. Praise the Lord. How many know we don't wait till the battle comes into the house? We need to discern it before it comes in the house. What time she lifts up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Verse 19, hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Now the neck speaks of the will. Verse 20, canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. How many know that nostril speaks of, you know, a horse snorts a lot, doesn't it? But it speaks of discernment, the nose, you see. You know, one of the things the priest in the Old Testament, if he had certain physical discrepancies about him, he couldn't be a priest. And one of the things that if he had a flat nose, he couldn't be a priest. And the nose, again, speaks of discernment. And I've seen a few, I wish had a flat nose. How about you? Maybe some wished I had one. But anyway, we need some discernment today. Amen? We need to learn to smell. We need to discern the battle afar off. Now, it says here that his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley. How many's ever seen a horse pawing? And you know he's upset, he's mad. And rejoices, notice, in his strength, he goeth on to meet somebody, the armed men. Hallelujah. How many believe God's got some overcomers that's meeting some armed men? Amen. Some demons, spirits. Verse 22, he mocks at fear and is not affrighted. Neither turns he back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swallows the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believes he that it is the sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah. He saith among the trumpets. Now here's a prophet among prophets. Here's a one among the other messengers. He saith among the prophets, ha ha, and he smelleth. Here it is, discerning. He smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains, and of the shouting. Praise the Lord. So there is a war horse. There is one that discerns the battle before it comes. Can you say amen? I believe that's God's real overcomers. Now turn over with me to Job 39 just a minute. That's where we were. Job 38. Now let's look at this day of battle here that we're entering into. I don't think we're just going to enter into it. I believe we're already in it, don't you? If we're really learning to overcome. In Job 38, look at verse 22 and 23. Listen to what Job said. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? So there's some treasures where? How many know in Proverbs 31 it says the little woman who's the type of the church as well as a wife, it said she's not afraid of the snow, which speaks of tribulation. Jesus said, pray your flight be not in the winter time. Why? Because you're restricted, aren't you? But most of all, pray that winter doesn't get in you and I. Let's pray that we get winter out. And some of us have winter in areas of it that we need to be purged of. Amen? Hallelujah. And so Job said, here have you entered the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Now, snow is very gentle. You can't hear it falling, but how many know you can hear the hail? When it hits the homes and breaks the glasses and different things it does. Now, how many know God has a hail ministry? Do you know that? I didn't say a hail ministry, a hail ministry. Now, look in. Hold your place. Turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And yet, we are against the demons and the enemy of hell, aren't we? Now, in Isaiah 28, thank you, Lord. Verse 2, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one. Somebody say amen. Amen. Which as a tempest, here it is, of hail, and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with what? The hand. What's the hand? Come on, help me. It's the ministry, isn't it? So God has a ministry of hail that's going to destroy and bring a storm, amen, upon the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at one other scripture on that here in just a minute. I want to read that again. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which has a tempest of hail, and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. So let's go back to Job, though, verse 22. God said, hast thou entered the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble and against the day of battle and war? So God said, I reserve the snow, I reserve the hail for the day of battle and war. Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 13. 13 of Ezekiel. Let's look at it here in Ezekiel. Praise the Lord. Now, in 13, he's dealing with many false ministries. But let's look at just a couple scriptures here. Look in verse 4 and 5. God said, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. And you know the desert speaks of that place that's dry. It speaks of wasteness. It speaks of death. No rain. Verse 5. God said, you've not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge, which speaks of intercession. For the house of Israel to stand, not fly off, not lay down, not run off, to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. So when's the battle coming, the big battle? In the day of the Lord. Well, how many know that can be today too? Amen? Of course, there is the day of the Lord coming, but today we can be in a battle. It can be a battle in the Lord today, right? Hallelujah. Now, look down in the scripture here with me, would you please? Praise the Lord. Look in verse 10. God said, because they have seduced my people, these false prophets, saying, peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar, which means they whitewashed it. All right, now come up to verse 14. Well, listen to what God, verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it, the wall, with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones. Now there it is. There's the ministry. The great hailstones in my fury will consume this wall. I mean, we all build walls up. Now verse 14. Listen to what God said. So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. It shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 15, the last part of it, God said, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. So God is going to send a minister of hail to destroy the walls. And how many know many walls have come down in our lives, and yet there are many more that's got to go? Now let's go back just a minute, back to Job 38. Let's look at this snow again, as well as the hail. He said here that this snow, verse 22, have you entered the treasures of the snow? Or he said in verse 23 that snow and the hail is reserved for the time of trouble against the day of battle and war. Now, we can't hear snow fall. I mean, it takes many flakes to fall together and make a big snowstorm. Isn't that right? Especially where I live. But sooner or later, it snows enough. It covers all the fences. It covers all the barriers. And how many know God can cover the barriers? Hallelujah. And then you look up and you see the snow on the mountaintops. It melts and the waters begin to come down. It's a blessing upon the vegetation. It blesses, irrigates the land. But how many know snow can be a judgment too? As well. It can cause floods, you see. And we don't think much about it when you just see one or two flakes coming down. But when you begin to see it come over and over again, then the thing is building and so forth. How many know the snow is changing the heavenlies? How many know we're changing the heavenlies? Amen? And so God says, I reserve the snow, I reserve the hail for the time of battle. Now, I want us to go to the Old Testament now to Samuel. I want to go to 1 Samuel 30, and I want to share a few things here out of this scripture. We're talking about warfare today, and I want to show you seven or eight things that I believe will be a blessing to us here in these scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Praise the Lord. And let's look at, let's see here. Okay, look at verse 1. We'll read several verses here. I want to give you seven things here in this chapter in just a minute. We'll start with verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites. Now, how many of the Amalekites are the flesh, the fleshly bunch? And how many know there is a warfare between those who want to walk in the Spirit and those who want to walk in the flesh? Isn't that right? Notice they had invaded the south, and Ziklag, it was smitten. Ziklag, and it says here, and they burned it with fire and had taken the women captives. Notice what the flesh does. It comes against who? The weaker vessels first, right? The wimp taking the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither either great or small, but carried them away and went their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons and daughters taken captive. So here comes the flesh against the women and against the sons and daughters. So those that were the youngest and the weaker vessels, they took away as captives. How many know the enemy has no mercy on anybody? And he'll destroy anybody that he can, and that he determines to, if he can. Verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now think about that. They wept and wept and wept, and there was no more power to weep at all. Now, look at verse, of course, David's family was taken, verse 6. Now look at this. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now they got so upset, they wanted to kill the leader. Well, David lost his family just like the others. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, the first thing he did something, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Yes. How many's ever been to that place where you've had to encourage yourself? Yes. You couldn't get it from anybody else, and you had to encourage yourself in God. You had to speak to yourself in the Lord and say, get a hold of yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. So he began to encourage himself. Now, hold your place. Turn to Nehemiah 5. Look at another scripture here with that. Nehemiah 5. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 5, I want to look at verse 7, just a little different. But Nehemiah, how many know Nehemiah was in a battle? He was in a warfare to rebuild the walls and the gates here in Jerusalem. And in verse 7, notice he said, "Then I consulted with myself." Hallelujah. So it's not too bad to talk to yourself. "And I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and so forth. But he said, I consulted with myself." So David, what did David do? He encouraged himself. So you have to talk to yourself. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord, his God. So here's the situation. The enemy had come in. He'd taken all the family away. You know, people get bitter. They say, "Well, I'll just quit praying. I'll just quit giving. I'm just not going to go to church again." Just get mad. I mean, we can all give up. But if you want to be an overcomer, you can't give up. Are you hearing me? Now, let's go down to 1 Samuel 30. Let's go back there. Notice the second point is in verse 8, David has the priest come in. And David begins to inquire the Lord. He begins to ask God what to do in the situation. Hallelujah. How many know we're all facing some situations probably today in our lives? We all need to, first of all, encourage ourselves. And secondly, we need to seek the Lord. God, what am I going to do about this thing? And when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. That's where we, you know, goof up and make mistakes, is that we just take things in our own hands and go our own way. We can't do that. Amen? If you're going to be a son, you've got to be led by God. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" Two questions. Didn't pray very long, did he? Hallelujah. And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover what?" God said, "You'll get it all." Hallelujah. How many want it all back? Glory to God. How many feel like the enemy's ripped you off and stolen from you? Maybe your family, maybe your loved ones, maybe your possessions, maybe whatever. But God said, hallelujah, he heard God, didn't he? So the third point is, don't move until the answer comes from God. Even though it's critical, even though people's about to stone you or hurt you or say things against you, whatever. When you hear God's word saying, pursue, overtake, without fail, you're going to recover all, then go after it. Amen? Praise God. Now, look in verse 9 and 10. Here's what David did. David surrounded himself with warriors. How many like to be around some warriors? Now, I know some of these men were really men of Belial, I'll tell you later, and wicked men. But in reality, we need to be around people that are real warriors in God. How many's ever been down and somebody come across your path, or you come across somebody's path and the things they said or they prayed for you or encouraged you, just lifted you right out of that depression or whatever you was in? Amen. And I find when I go through depression at times, if I can get with saints and get with people that are like-minded, it'll bring me right out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this bunch was discouraged here. Amen? They were depressed. They'd lost their family. And so verse 9 said, David went in, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, there where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, and so forth. They went out, of course, after the enemy. So there, you've got to surround yourself with warriors. Hallelujah. Now, how many know the enemy's got to be identified? Back to verse 2. This is the fifth point. Your enemy's got to be identified. Verse 2 tells they were Amalekites. They were the flesh people. Then over in verses 9 through 16 again, it tells you who they are. So you've got to identify your enemy. How many know you've got an enemy you've got to identify today? His name is Satan. He's got demons under him working and fallen angels and so forth. Now, number six, notice verse 17 through 20. You got to fight until you win. God said pursue, didn't he? I mean, no, that speaks over overcoming. You've got to fight until you win. Verse 7, and David, well, back to verse 16. Notice what the enemy's doing, eating, drinking, and dancing. That's the Amalekites. That's the flesh bunch, isn't it? wining and dining. Amen? Hallelujah. Remember, you got to watch out for the gold, the gals, and the glory, and the guys. Okay, verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all. Everybody say all.
All.
All that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. Well, what did God say? God said, you'll recover all. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. When God said you'll recover all, God means exactly what he says. Now, how many believe today the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the locust have eaten a lot of things in our life? And God promises us two things. Now, hear what I'm going to say. In Joel chapter 2, God promises that you and I can be restored. Amen? And yet in the midst of chapter 2, he preaches and says to us, there's coming a judgment as well. Because he talks about pillars of smoke. Remember that? And blood and fire. And so when the bombs are falling, hear me, in the world, in the days to come, God has a people, glory to God, that is restoring. Amen?
Amen.
The same time restoration takes place, there's judgment coming in the earth. So if we want to recover all, we've got to pursue the enemy. We've got to hear God. I want to go over those first few points again before I give the last one. Number one, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number two, he inquired of the Lord. Number three, he didn't move till the answer came from God. Four, David surrounded himself with warriors. And five, he identified who his enemy here was. And six, he fought till he recovered all. And number seven, look at verse 22 now. David shares with others in his restoration. How many know God wants us to share with others? Verse 22, whatever God's put in your hand, how many know you and I are responsible to give to others? Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial, those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us. Now, there were some stayed behind, you see, in this battle, because they were too weak to go. How many know there's some people weak? Hear me now. And there's some people strong. And we that are weak must say we are what? Strong. I mean, no, you don't always feel like you're strong. But he said, let the weak say I am strong. But nevertheless, there are some that lag behind, stay behind. They are weak. And the strong ones went ahead. And so they said, because they went not with us, we will not give them all of the spoil that we have recovered. I mean, no, there's an old stingy spirit too. Poverty spirit, stingy spirit. Save to every man his wife, his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Verse 23. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our land. For who will hearken to you in this matter, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that teareth by the stuff. They shall part alike, David said. Hallelujah. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent out of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, behold a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And if you come right on down and read the rest of it, you'll see all these other people that he gave part of this restoration to. Hallelujah. So when you begin to get back, those things the enemy's taken from you, when God restores, don't forget others. Amen? Share with others in restoration, glory to God, of the blessings of God. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this battle. Now, turn over with me to Daniel 7. Let's go to Daniel 7. Praise the Lord. Daniel 7. And let's see this warfare that we're going to be in at the end of the age and that we are in. Daniel 7:21. Daniel has a vision of four beasts here in the book of Daniel. And in verse 21, he said, I beheld the same horn. This is the Antichrist, the little horn, the beast that comes out of the earth. He made war with who? The saints. And prevail against them. Now, stop there just a minute. Go to Revelation. Hold your place. Turn to Revelation 13. And then we'll come right back. Now, I taught a message last week on overcoming. And I told the people this. Sometimes you will be overcome in order to overcome. In fact, in most cases, it's that way. You will be overcome in order to overcome. Now, Revelation 13, look at verse 5. And it says this. And there was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with who? The saints. How many is a saint today? Saint or an ain't? Yeah. And to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Now let's go back to Daniel. Daniel gives us hope. Now back in verse 21, this same horn makes war with the saints and prevail against them. John said, overcome them. But look at verse 22. Until, everybody say until. How many know that's a time span? Until. Now, I got to take you back to Revelation. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to chapter 12, just a minute. Revelation 12. Now, we said earlier that this man-child in verse 5 that's going to rule the nations, shepherd the nations with a rod of iron, was called up to what? To God and to His throne. But look at verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they, the man-child, should feed her there. How long? 1,260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years. All right, now look over to verse 13. And when the dragon saw, he was cast to the earth. Now this is the start of the tribulation. When he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. Now he's going after the woman. He couldn't get the man-child. God takes the man-child up higher. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into what? The wilderness. Notice, fly into the wilderness. She was given two wings of a great eagle. That is the mind of Christ. That's the Word and the Spirit was given to her. That's the balance. That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. Notice where she's nourished. For a time, times, half a time from the face of the serpent. So she's going through what? Tribulation, isn't she? Now go back to chapter 13 just a minute again. Let's go back and look at this verse again, what we read a while ago. In verse 7, it was given him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. But come back to verse chapter 13, verse 5. How long is he going to do this? How long? 42 months. Isn't that right? Now, go back to Daniel now. Daniel. Hallelujah. He said that this horn will make war against the saints until, in verse 22, the Ancient of Days came. How many know that's the Lord coming in of people here? Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and time came, the saints did something. Possessed the kingdom. Now look at verse 25. I'm not going to leave you on a negative note, but look at it. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out somebody. How many have ever felt like you've been wore out lately? It means to wear you out mentally, to afflict you. There is an Antichrist spirit out to wear you down, out to wear you out, to afflict you, to wear you out mentally if you and I allow it. And notice, shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. and they, the saints, shall be given into his hand. Here it is now. It's exactly what John said, until a time and times and dividing of times. How long is that? How long was the woman in the wilderness? Where's the man child? He was caught to the throne. Who's going to be ministering to her? The man child in the 3.5 years of tribulation. Now look at verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they, God's saints, shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. So they were overcome for a period of time, but they rose up because Christ comes in them, and they take away his dominion, and they consume and destroy that to the end. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, without a battle, you're not going to be an overcomer. I'm not going to be an overcomer. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn to chapter 12, one of the scriptures in chapter 12, and look at verse 7. Verse 7. Now, the emphasized Bible gives it a little different here, but I won't go into that today. If you got an emphasized Bible. But verse 7, 12, 7. And I heard the man clothed with linen, which was up on the waters of the rivers, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall accomplish to scatter somebody, the power, come on, of the holy people, all these things shall be, come on, finished. Now, I mean, the power we have is from the Holy Ghost. Now, we receive power as we seek the Lord and as we love the Lord and praise the Lord and we're filled with oil. But how many know those that quit praying lose the power? Isn't that right? Now, why do we quit praying? Because we're too busy, sin, whatever. And so here, at the end of the age, he's going to scatter the power of the holy people. I mean, it's no time to quit and lay down your arms now. If you're going to be an overcomer, how many know if you're going to be an overcomer, you're going to be an intercessor. You've got to have your weapons. Now, turn back to Samuel a minute. Turn to Samuel, 1 Samuel 13 or 14 here. I know we're going in a lot of scriptures, but you got 10 fingers. All right. Now, look in 1 Samuel. Look in 1 Samuel 13, first of all. Saul has a problem. How many know he's afraid of the people? What they're going to think. And he forced himself into another ministry that he shouldn't have done. He was foolish. But look back to verse 6 of chapter 13. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait. How many has ever felt like you were in a strait jacket? For the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves. What are you going to... When you and I get in depression, what are we going to do? We want to be alone, don't we? They hid themselves, notice, in caves and thickets, rocks and high places and pits. Well, how many know that that's not the thing to do? How many know Elijah hid too until the word of the Lord come to him? Now, look over here with me. Look in verse 22, verse 19. Now, there was no smith, that means an iron worker, found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, his coulter, his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and so forth. Now, verse 22. Look at verse 22. It came to pass in the day of what? Battle. Every man that's determined to be an overcomer comes to the day of battle, doesn't he? Every man, every woman. It came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and Jonathan, his son, was there found. So there was no weapons of war found in the people's hand. We better know who our enemy is, and we better know what our armor is, too, and have it on, and know how to use it. Amen? Now, look over just a minute in 2 Samuel 1. We'll come right back here close to this area right here in just a minute. 2 Samuel 1. And yet they had sword and spear, Jonathan and Saul. 2 Samuel 1. But look in verse 19. It said, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How many believe that when you begin to go up in God, you better have your weapons? You better know who you are. And you better be standing with other brethren that's with you. And they went into the high places. Of course, when you move into the high places, you begin to move into the enemy's territory, don't you? How many know he's the prince of the power of the air? And then he said, how are the mighty fallen? Now, hear me. It's not enough to know we're in a battle. It's not enough to know that we've got to fight the enemy. How many know we don't go into battle without wisdom? We don't just run headlong into the thing without first weighing the situation and getting some wisdom from God, knowing how to go into the battle. How many know there's a lot of casualties today because people haven't used wisdom? Are you hearing me? Now look at verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their deaths they were not divided. And that's true. Jonathan would not break with Saul. And he died with him. Now, look at verse 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. Verse 27. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Where did the mighty fall? Right in battle. Right in the high places. Hallelujah. How many know the stars have been falling? Can I tell you another secret? They'll keep falling. It's up to us to pray for them. It's up to us to pray for ourselves that we don't fall. Can you say amen? Now turn over with me in just a minute to another scripture. Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel 13. Then we'll go over to another scripture here. These things keep coming, so we have to go as the Lord directs us. 1 Samuel 14. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 14. Now, look at verse... praise God. Look at verse 26. We see the battle in verse 23, the battle in verse 22 and 23. And verse 24, Saul lays down a curse upon the people. If anybody eats that day, they'd be cursed or killed. How many know Saul's a type of the old mind, the old order? And verse 26, notice when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. Now, honey speaks of resurrection life. It speaks of the Word. This was natural honey. How many know the Bible said, by honey and butter Jesus partook of, that he might discern or know the difference between good and evil. And so we need honey and butter. We need the strong Word, don't we? And resurrection life. Behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. Now, Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath, wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it to the honey cone and put his hand to his mouth. Notice the first thing happened. First of all, before we go into battle, we've got to have our eyes, come on, enlightened. The Amplified said brighten. And Paul talks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, didn't he, over in Ephesians chapter 1. So first of all, there is a lightening of the eyes. The light, the eyes must be open. Now, look in verse 29 when he got his eyes open. The second thing that happened here is, he said, when he heard this oath about the father putting the curse on the people, he said, my father has troubled the land. My father has troubled the land. Amen? Hallelujah. And he said, I pray you how my eyes have been enlightened because I've tasted a little of this honey. Now, notice, he tasted just a little and he got his eyes open. We've had a little, we've got our eyes open. We need more, don't we? But he said, I know now who the enemy is. My father has troubled the land. Now, verse 30, he said, if the people could have eaten of this honey, notice, he said, there had been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines. Amen. The enemy would have been dealt with. The enemy would have been given a death blow. So first of all, the enlightening of the eyes. Secondly, he knew who the enemy was. His father caused the trouble to come in the land. And thirdly, he said the enemy would have been defeated if the people could have eaten the honey. I want to tell you, brethren, there are people in many places that are being kept from eating the honey today. From eating the Word of God. Don't take anybody's word for anything. Check it out yourself. Amen? Believe the Bible. Praise the Lord. It is true. Now, let me tell you some things we need to know here. Let me tell you about 10 things and I'm going to show you the Scripture. If you're going to be a warrior, if you're going to enter into battle, number one, hear me now. You've got to be a man or woman of understanding of what the time is. We've got to know what time frame we're in today. Amen? That's number one. Number two, we've got to know not only for ourselves, but what the church must do in this hour. We need to have some answers for others as well as ourselves. Can you say amen? Number three, we must get into a place in God. Now listen, in God, not in ourselves, but in God, where we can give some commands by the Holy Ghost. How many believe people need some answers today? Number four, we must go forth, of course, into battle. There is a battle raging. We must know that. We must get in the battle just like others are getting in the battle. Number five, we must become an expert in war. How many know that God takes you into the wilderness to teach you warfare? We must become an expert in war. We must know our weapons. We must know how to use them and exercise them against the enemy. Remember, our enemy is not flesh and blood. It is the devil. Number six, we must, of course, learn that warfare there in the wilderness as God takes us into those testing times. Praise the Lord. Number seven, we must be able to keep rank one with another. Can you say amen? Yes. Who has ever been in the army or the service? You ever see anybody couldn't march properly? You'd see one bouncing up and down and everybody else is going smoothly. Hallelujah. We've got to keep rank. We've got to know our position. We've got to know our place in God. And we've got to walk in it. Can you say amen? That means there's a discipline involved in our lives. Number eight, we will not thrust each other through. We're not going to kill each other with a sword. Amen? How many know we're going to kill the enemy with a sword? And number nine, we're not to be double-hearted. We're to have a single eye. Our eyes to be upon the Lord. And number ten, we must march into the war only by the voice of God. Now let's look at some scriptures. Two scriptures. Turn to 1 Chronicles 10. 11 or 12. Let's see. I'll find it. Hang on. 1 Chronicles. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 12. Hallelujah. Look at verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men. Notice they were what? I mean, oh, God wants us to become men in the Lord. Hallelujah. Come out of our childish frame of mind. Come out of our pouting and grow up in God. Amen? Children of Issachar, which were men that had something, understanding of the times. How many believe we're living in the time of the end? And notice, they were not only men and had understanding of the times. It says, and to know, that's knowledge, what Israel, which is the church, ought to do to us today. What the church must do. The heads of them were 200 and so forth. Verse 33, of Zebulun such as went forth to battle. They were what? Expert in war. With all instruments of war, 50,000, and which could keep rank. And they were not of double heart. We need to have a single eye, brethren. It needs to be on the Lord. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Well, how many know we got a king today? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're in a war today. We need to know that we have to have understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding of what time it is. And we need to have answers for the church. We need to give some commands by the Holy Ghost. And we've got to get in the battle as well as tell others they've got to get in the battle. We've got to become an expert. Now turn over to Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Someday I'm going to take all these papers out of my Bible. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 3 of the Song of Solomon. Look in verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? How many want to come out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke perfumed with something. I mean, myrrh speaks of bitterness. It speaks of suffering. Before you can have a sweet smell, you're going to have some bitterness in your life. And I don't mean to get bitter. I'm not talking about that, but you're going to have some suffering. You're going to go through some things. Where? In the wilderness. Perfumed with myrrh and what? Frankincense with all the powders of the merchants. And behold, his bed, which is Solomon's, 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords. How many's got a sword today? Being expert in war. Where did they learn war? In the wilderness. Notice, every man hath his sword upon his thigh. How many know that's the reproductive area? That's the area of strength. Because of the fear in the night. Now, turn over to chapter 8. Verse 5. 8:5. Hallelujah. And again, he asked the question, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon, come on, help me, brethren, her beloved. Now look at this. I raise thee up. Now that, I understand, is a feminine gender. She is speaking. I raise thee up. Under what? The apple tree. Turn back to chapter 2 a minute. Oh, glory to God. Look in verse 3. As the apple tree, and he is among the trees of the wood. How many know we're trees today? As the apple tree among the trees, Christ in you is the what? Come on, help me. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. That's submission. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Hallelujah. And so back here she says, I raise thee up under submission again, the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. How many believe she's bringing forth one today? Revelation 12:5. There she brought thee up, forth that bare thee. Hallelujah. And then he said, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal of thine arm, strength. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as a grave, the coals thereof are the coals of fire, which at the most vehement flame. Verse 7, now look at this. Many waters, here's tribulation, cannot quench love. How many believe that? Don't care what kind of tribulation it is. It can't quench out and destroy the love of God. Amen. Neither can the floods drown it, if a man would give all his substance and so forth. So we can see here, glory to God, there's one coming forth, coming up out of the wilderness. Now, you've heard me say this, somebody have heard me say this, but I'll say it again. There are those that are coming up now out of the wilderness. They're on their way out. And there are others about ready to go in. And I pray in my own life that I'll be able to come out. How about you? Amen. I want to come up, and I want to come out. Praise the Lord. So we're in a battle today. Amen? We're in a battle, and we must win this battle. Praise the Lord. I want to look at one other scripture in closing in Psalm 78. Let's go there. Psalm 78. Praise the Lord. And if you don't think we're in a battle, well, let's go to Psalm 74 first. Look at verse 3. Let me show you that we are in a battle. David is crying out to God, and he's saying, God, why does your anger smoke against the sheep of the pasture? Well, and notice he didn't say the lambs in verse 1. He said the sheep. How many of we allow some things to go on that God gets upset about with us? And in verse 3, God said, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. How many believe he's making us a sanctuary? This is a sanctuary. And God said, the enemy's done some wicked things in the sanctuary. Verse 4. He said, thine enemies roar in the midst of the congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. They've got signs, but yet where's the church signs? Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe, right? Many signs we have is the bathroom exit signs, but we need the signs of God. Verse 5. A man was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. Devil's got a chainsaw. He wants to kill every one of us. Verse 6. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. I'm talking about you, brethren. I'm talking about me. They have cast fire. This is the false fire. This is the false anointing. Into my sanctuary. They have defiled my casting down of this dwelling place to the of thy name to the ground. Verse 8, he said, they burned up the synagogues in the land. Verse 9, we see not our signs. There's no more any prophet. Well, God's beginning to bring some forth, isn't he? Now, in verse 10, David said, oh God, how long is this going to go on? You ever ask God that? How long, Lord, is this situation going to go on in my life or in maybe your family or whatever? Shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Verse 11. Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? Where did Jesus come out of? The bosom of the Father. How many believe that he's raising up sons coming out of the bosom of the Father in this hour? The son of the right hand, the Benjamin Company. This thing's going to go on until these sons come out of the bosom of the Father, and once they stand up, how many know they're going to stop some of this crud right here? Because there's going to be real deliverance in the temple of God, in the sanctuary of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So yes, we see the enemy's roar. Yes, we see the things of God cast down. But God is bringing forth a hand ministry out of his bosom. Amen. That's going to meet the devil head on. Amen. And defeat him and bring him down to the ground. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise him today. Glory to God. Let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We bless you, God. Praise the Lamb. Raise up that man-child. Raise up that people, God. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And I, the Lord thy God, do go before thee. And I break down those things, those hindrances, and those barriers that have stood in thy way, saith the Lord. Yea, walk humbly before me. Submit thy temple to me. Walk before me, saith the Lord, in faith and in patience. And I, the Lord, will bring you into your provision. I, the Lord, shall restore that which the enemy has taken away. I, the Lord, am a jealous God, and I do watch over my inheritance. I watch over my people. Thou art mine, saith the Lord, and I am thine, and I do raise thee up in this hour, saith the Lord thy God. Fear not thine enemy, saith the Lord, but trust in the living God. Trust in the arm of the Lord, for he is mighty and he is strong, and he shall bring thee through, and he shall bring thee up, for thou art my anointed one, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We believe it, Lord. We believe it. We believe it, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Redeemer, Redeemer, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is with thee, my son. And the Lord doth strengthen thee today out of Zion. The Lord doth quicken thy mortal body, saith the Lord, thy flesh. I, the Lord, have put a quick hearing within thee. And I, the Lord, shall strengthen thee in the days ahead. And I shall prepare thee also for the battle in the gate. I, the Lord God, do go before thee. And I, the Lord God, do lift thee up this day and do encourage thee and let thee know that I love thee with a great love and that my compassion is within thee and that it does flow out to others, saith the Lord. So rejoice and be and know that the Lord is with thee. Be not hindered any longer in certain areas, but allow me to break down and crush the enemy under thy feet in this hour. For truly, my son, I give you sharp hearing, and I give you a seeing eye and a hearing heart, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise our God. Let's praise our God today. Let's praise our God today.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has put His talents. The Lord has put His gifts within thee. And the Lord will not take them back, for He has given them unto thee to use. Yea,
hallelujah,
for thou art a sharp instrument in my hand, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thou art my battle axe, as you've heard this day, my a weapon of war. And know that the Lord does teach you warfare in this hour. And the Lord does open your eyesight and give visions and revelation concerning things to come, saith the Lord. And as I've said of old, I say again, miracles are in your hand. Yea, rejoice and know that I, the Lord, my anointing is upon thee and within thee. And that I show you things in the night season and in the days ahead. And thou shalt see and thou shalt behold new truths in me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord thy God. Yea, again, I say rejoice. For the Lord doth lift thee up. The Lord doth strengthen thee out of His bosom this day. And know that I give you my mind. I give you my thinking and my will, saith the Lord. And your will is to do my will, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord thy God. For the Lord has seen thy patience. And the Lord has seen the faith, yea, that He put within thy bosom. And know that in the days ahead, the Lord doth say, the gift of faith, yea, shall come into thee. And thou shalt speak it out of thy mouth, saith the Lord. And created miracles shall come into being because of thy faithfulness unto thy God. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, and it shall be, saith the Lord. Yea, come into my presence. Spend time with me in this hour. For I'm going to draw you aside for just a little period unto my presence and into my presence, saith the Lord, that you may hear a clear word from me in this hour. For truly I am building my faith and my patience within thee. I establish my word and I call it into being, saith the Lord, within my vessel. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's praise our God. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.